Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. My name is Scott Klein. I'm here with Arvind. Did I say that all right?
Arvind,
good, okay. Yeah. I probably should have written that down. But we're going to talk today about querying DocumentDB. But before we get started, Arvind, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, Al. I am Arvind Ramachandran, and I'm a program manager with the Azure DocumentDB team. I've been here with the team for about a year and a half.
Okay.
And I've worked on a bunch of these features, mainly query.
Query.
Yeah, which is definitely one of the cool key features in DocumentDB.
Yeah, very nice. So what I really like, and I think what people, when I go out and talk about DocumentDB, one of the things that people really, really, really like about DocumentDB is the ability to say, you know what, I don't have to learn this, you know, hideous syntax for querying. I can use T-SQL or kind of link to query, which is just a huge selling feature and good point for DocumentDB.
Absolutely. We wanted query to not be a barrier to entry. You know your query model. You're familiar with SQL. It's powerful.
Yep.
So we wanted to make sure that the query language is SQL,
yeah,
and link for .NET developers, and that was a key factor in the design of the query language.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we had to make sure that it was tailored to JSON,
yeah,
and handled schemaless data under the scenes. When you look at how the language behaves, it works a lot like JavaScript under the scenes in terms of operators and how the language semantics work.
Perfect. So let's back up just a second and just spend a few minutes on this, because people may not know what DocumentDB is. So why don't you give us like a 10, 15 second overview of kind of what DocumentDB is.
Absolutely. So you guys know about how a lot of NoSQL databases have become more and more popular.
Yeah.
And so what you have is, on one end of the spectrum, you have your SQL databases. And on the other end, you have key value stores.
Yeah.
Document databases fit right in between. So DocumentDB, the key things that you get with DocumentDB is schemaless query.
Yep.
And JavaScript transactions, you get tunable consistency, and you get this fully managed service that's cost efficient, that gives you predictable performance.
Yeah.
So that's how DocumentDB come to be, because developers need this kind of a database that gives you that flexibility, and on the other hand also gives you the power.
Yeah, that's a good point. We had relational on one side, we had NoSQL kind of key value pair on the other, but we had no interesting document store that really, if you look at it, we have Azure SQL Database as platform as a service, mm-hmm, NoSQL as a service, but we don't have anything of a platform as a service scalable document store, and this is what DocumentDB is. Like he says, schema free, JavaScript, and all the benefits without really having to learn all the whole new set of technologies.
Absolutely, it's JSON, which you already have.
Yep.
It's JavaScript, which you already know, and it's SQL.
Yep, which is perfect. So querying, this is what I really like, because if you've done other kind of document data stores before, you know that it can be sort of cumbersome, and not to talk bad about them, because I think they're great technologies, but it can be a little cumbersome to learn how do I query these, right? And so you have to use like URIs and things like that and the syntax for doing writing complex queries can be challenging, to say the least. So this, what does document database implement? Like we saw, ANSI SQL type of syntax, but how powerful is that for developers, for the people that want to use DocumentDB?
It's very powerful, mainly because you can do things like things that you're used to in SQL.
Yep.
Relational projections, you have your select from where,
yep,
and then you can build more and more complex filters. And ors and nots and the full complement of arithmetic expressions.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that is at your disposal. And the cool thing is that there you have no dependency on the data underneath. So it could be a bunch of different types. You could have one table or like one kind of object whose schema is changing over time, and you can still query against it with your plain old SQL.
Right, so your syntax doesn't change because you're still writing plain old SQL.
Absolutely. Right. And not just that, but then we build upon that to serve the kinds of queries that developers need for JSON.
Yeah.
So things like now you can construct your own JSON. If the query doesn't, you want to reformat your JSON to a different shape,
mm-hmm,
we'll take a look at a few examples, but you could do that.
Oh, wonderful. This is great. So great power around that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And since the database plays so well with JavaScript and we've made this commitment to JSON, you could do things like JavaScript UDFs and you can extend the language.
Yeah. And the ability to do what we haven't talked about, and we'll probably talk about it a little later, maybe in another episode, is you could do stored procedures as well to do some of these, some of these querying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is great. What else have we got?
So we can jump into what we have. We have a public demo site where you can learn and check out the SQL query language for DocumentDB.
Awesome. Let's do that. Let's see what you have.
So this site is available for anyone to use. You just need to go to www.documentdb.com/SQL/demo.
Okay.
And what you have here is this interface where you can try out your SQL queries against some data.
Is this a great place and a great way for people to learn how to kind of use this the ANSI SQL querying against DocumentDB?
Yes, and okay. you can learn it without getting your own subscription. And if you like what you see, you can always sign up with the link on the top.
And they give you great tips here to say, hey, you know, it's kind of helps you out to say, look, almost teaching you SQL, T-SQL along the way. Right?
Yeah, and you can read through the tutorial link there. It has much more details on the rationale.
Perfect.
So let's look at a simple example. Like here, this is we have a set of family documents.
Mm-hmm.
So straight away, you'll see a key difference, which is that the output of your queries isn't quite rows and columns. It's JSON.
It's JSON. Yeah.
It's processing on JSON. It's returning JSON. But the query that you write is exactly what you would expect.
Yep. Perfect. So I'm writing T-SQL, but I'm getting back the format that the document's actually stored in. Right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
And this was a simple query, but then what you could do is you can go from there and specify filters on top of it. And one of the things here is, let's say I want to pick out all families whose ID is the Anderson family,
mm-hmm.
and I want to project the address property out of it.
Oh, okay.
Now, here you can see address is actually a sub-document. Address has properties of its own.
Okay.
So when you execute the query, what you get back is just the address property of the document.
Of the Anderson family, yep. Okay.
Within select, I mean, we saw this one example of how we can do get the address back. So this is your simple case where you say, I want to get the address back from all the families. Now, what's interesting here is my documents might not always have the same schema.
Mm-hmm.
So in these documents, they don't even have an address property. It's perfectly fine to have that query. All you get back is a bunch of documents with no results, which you'll have to filter out on the client side.
Yep.
And so one thing here is, though, I do have the nesting here. I have address, and address has properties of its own.
Mm-hmm.
What if I don't want that nesting?
Good question.
So what you could do is things like use the value keyword. Now, what the value keyword does is it lets you unnest that JSON and gives you the data in the shape that you want.
So this is a great way to start understanding the syntax specific to DocumentDB, right? The T-SQL, ANSI SQL syntax specifically for DocumentDB, right? And so I can then take that knowledge and apply it to my own queries and my own application if I need to.
Yeah. And it doesn't even end there. What you could do is build more complex JSON where you can say, I want state. I have city, which is nested deep inside my document,
mm-hmm.
but I want to project it back to the root.
Okay.
And you want to do things like, I have ID, but I really meant in my results that I want it to be called name. So there you could do aliasing, just like you would with SQL.
SQL, yeah. A great way to alias a column.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and what you can get back the results in any way you want.
This is very nice. Very good. So if a developer is wondering how, again, so a T-SQL developer, and you can also use this syntax if you want in Link, correct? Or similar to this.
Absolutely. Right?
So this is a great way for a developer to go, you know, if I'm writing either T-SQL or Link, you know, what's the syntax? I can try it here and then take that and apply it to my application.
Yeah. And the link provider does the job behind the scenes of taking your link expressions.
Yep.
So here you would project these anonymous properties out of your object.
Yeah.
And then we would do the job of translating it down.
Okay.
And this is a useful tip when you're doing link programming. You can either profile the SQL string
mm-hmm.
through Fiddler, or you could do a two-string and look at how the link expression is translating to SQL.
Right. Okay.
We have static expressions as well.
Okay.
So what you could do is in this case you have hello world,
mm-hmm.
but you can build more complex expressions, much like in SQL. You can build arithmetic expressions, things like if you're projecting a column and incrementing by one, you could do that with the DocumentDB query
yeah.
language as well.
Wow, okay.
And of course, my favorite feature, which is UDFs, because it's so powerful when you can just extend it and add, you have the full power of JavaScript
yep.
that you can use within your query. So in this case, let's say the language grammar doesn't support square root.
Right.
But then that's it. I mean, you need to write one line, maybe one sentence to say, use JavaScript's square root and register that UDF, and then you can start using it within queries.
Wow. Okay. So great. Basically, using JavaScript functionality, right? Create your own UDFs to use within DocumentDB syntax.
Yeah. And so you could do things like regular expressions. You can do things like reformatting dates or picking parts of dates.
Yep.
You can do things like
so a lot of things that you can do in T-SQL that you know that JavaScript using a lot of the JavaScript functionality. You can do a lot of things that you know like date part and parsing times and things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right in for DocumentDB.
Yeah. With one caveat though, especially if you're using UDFs. Within in the filter expressions,
yep.
you have to think about performance and what's served through the index
yeah.
versus
okay.
what needs a scan. That's the only part you need to be careful. And a common thing is when you're using a UDF, make sure that you also have additional filters.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and that's almost just like T-SQL syntax, right?
Yeah.
You gotta figure out you need to realize and understand where are you implementing that UDF. In your select statement,
absolutely,
right? Just for performance reasons, as well as additional filters and things like that.
Yeah.
You also mentioned indexes. So can we talk about those just briefly? I mean, how does index? Can you apply an index to a table, and how does that affect your querying?
The discussion on query isn't complete unless you talk about indexing.
Yep.
So one thing what we've done. Is make sure that you don't have to think about indexing in the majority of cases.
Right, okay.
Because that's when you realize the power of schemaless databases.
Yep.
So it's backed by an index. But what you can do is you can do better.
Mm-hmm.
You could take the DocumentDB indexing and override the behavior and control, if you know your schema, you can say, I want to index only certain paths within my documents.
Your document. Okay.
You can do things like control the type of index. And this is going to be really important, especially if you have things like range queries.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that case, you need to instruct the index to say, I want a range index on this path. And then you can start using it within queries.
Yep, okay.
And the index is designed to be extremely storage efficient, very conservative on resources because it's you care about it in to be cost effective.
Yeah, so kind of lightweight, not a big overhead on your document store and your database.
Yeah, and that was the design we needed to make sure that when data comes in at this extremely
yep.
high velocities, the index can keep up and serve strongly consistent queries.
Yeah. Okay.
So and of course, so but you can always trade off so you can decide what's more important, query performance or write performance or the index storage overhead.
Yeah.
So you can make those fine-grained trade-offs by controlling the index precision, which parts
yep.
you're indexing, what's included, what's excluded.
So you can do some testing and trying different scenarios. Do I want to apply an index, and what does that have on performance, or versus read versus write?
Huh.
And you can play a little bit, and like you said, tunable consistency, right? Tune it a little bit to figure out what's the right ratio of indexes versus write and things like that.
Right? Yeah, the key thing to watch out there is the request charge. So when you get the result back from a query, you always know how many request units it's consumed. Mm-hmm. Since DocumentDB has that predictable performance, knowing how many request units a query consumes lets you tune it as well as lets you plan for capacity.
Okay, that's good. Perfect. So I think there's two things we can take away from this, right? One, I think there's plenty of opportunity to have you come back and talk more about indexing, because I think there's plenty of opportunity to better understand how indexing can have an effect on performance and pricing and things like that, and how we can tune that. But two, the other takeaway here is that the first thing you need to do is go out and play with this website to understand, hey, how does this, if you can bring that up again, how we can start playing with, you can start playing with this website, start understanding how the, how to start writing queries for DocumentDB, right? And yeah. The different syntax, like you saw value and nesting and things like that, and kind of the impact and how you want your queries and the data returned, the shape of your JSON.
And when you are in the Azure portal, you have a very similar experience where you can query on your data much like in this interface.
Yeah. Yep, perfect. I like this. So again, let's see, DocumentDB.com/SQL/demo. Start playing with it. I think there's some great potential here. Just for people that are new to DocumentDB, and they say, hey, how do I want to start writing these queries, right?
Yeah.
So not to put you on the spot, but is there a way that people can write, or in the future, will there be maybe a site or to start writing, how they can write link queries and test their link queries out or something like that?
We have considered that. Okay. We are not immediately planning to do it, but
right.
But I think so. In the Ibiza portal,
okay.
We're bringing more and more features online, so right. I imagine we'll have that one day.
Okay, yeah, not to put you on the spot, but this is a great start, and .NET developers are going, hey, what about us, right? So, in the future. Coming. So, Arvind, thank you so much for coming. Appreciate your time.
Well, thanks
this
for having
fantastic,
me.
This is fantastic, and we look forward to having you back to discuss other cool DocumentDB stuff.
So, thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thank you. Everybody, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.